was in my teens, I used to love seeing the postman come up our path because he might just have a letter for me. Most of the time he didn't, but there were occasions when my name was on the envelope. It would likely be a letter from, say, a French pen friend or from a member of the student mission team who had worked over the summer at our church. As I got into my later teens, the visit of the postman was even more eagerly anticipated, as it could mean a letter from a certain medical student in Edinburgh. But it wasn't just a teenage girl who looked forward to receiving letters. Some of the early churches in the New Testament received letters too. In fact, many of the Bible's New Testament books were originally written as letters. One of these is the book of Philippians, a letter to the church at Philippi, which was a city in Macedonia, a Roman province to the north of Greece. It was here, at Philippi, that the first European church was founded by the Apostle Paul and his companions. Some years later, Paul wrote this letter to the Philippian church while imprisoned in Rome for his faith. The tenor of the whole letter is joy. Despite his many sufferings, Paul could be joyful because of his relationship with Christ, and he exhorts Christians to be joyful too. But real joy in Christ requires that we exercise humility in our relationships with others in the church. A few weeks ago, I asked the question, how can I be happy? And we looked to Psalm 1 for our answer. This morning, I want to ask the question, how can I be humble? Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 to 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want to look at this passage under three headings. First of all, expectation. Live up to who you are. And that's what we've got there in verse 1 of chapter 2. There's expectation there. Live up to who you are. Verse 1 and verse 2. The Apostle Paul is addressing this letter to people who are already followers of Jesus Christ. And at the start of chapter 2, he makes certain assumptions about them. They're listed for us in verse 1. First of all, he says, if there's any encouragement from being united with Christ, that's the first one. The second thing, comfort from his love. The third thing, fellowship with the Spirit. And the fourth, tenderness and compassion. Now, assumptions lead to expectations. The Apostle Paul is saying to the Philippian church, if these four things are true of you, then as a local group of Christians, be like-minded, have the same love, be one in spirit and purpose. In other words, don't be content with your experience of Christianity being only vertical, in other words, between God and you, but allow your experience to become horizontal between you and other Christians. So if, as stated in verse 1, there is an assumption that we've experienced encouragement from belonging to Christ, the expectation is that we will encourage one another. If knowing God's love is a source of comfort to us, then we're expected to share this with one another. If we know what it's like to have fellowship with God's Spirit, then there is an expectation that we will want to extend fellowship to others who possess that Spirit too. In other words, other followers of Christ. This will involve sharing with one another in meaningful relationships, working with one another in godly partnerships, communicating with one another to build each other up, and caring for one another by contributing financially or in any other practical way to meet any needs that might exist. And finally, if we have experienced the tenderness and compassion of God, should this not motivate us to be tender and compassionate to one another? So you see how the vertical, God's dealings with us and our relationship with him, is it becomes horizontal, extended to other people in the church. Now, we've already said that joy is the overriding theme of the book of Philippians. And Paul states in chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. But in chapter 2, verse 2, we read that his joy is not complete. Paul has a longing for this group of Christ followers to live in unity. Note how he urges them to be like-minded, to have the same love, to be one in spirit and purpose. You see, Paul knew that before there could be unity, the Philippian church would have to show humility.